It's time for 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. It's Crunch Time with JB and Double T, presented by Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale.
Well, I always say food tastes a little bit better when it starts to get cold outside, but it always tastes good here at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. We are here for another edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T, live from the restaurant on Flossie Drive. Join us here every Monday, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. Come in, get yourself a warm meal, and listen to us shoot the breeze about all things local, high school, college, and pro sports. JB, as always, an eventful weekend in sports, and we're going to catch up on a lot of it here tonight. No guests, so we get a chance to maybe flap our gums a little bit more than usual this week.
I'm back. You carried us last week. I was down there fall break at Lawrenceburg High School. I was down there with Nicole and the kids in Disney World. As much fun as Mickey Mouse is, Travis, it's good to be sitting back by you on a Monday night.
Well, glad to have
you. Great job last week by yourself.
Thank you so much. Glad to have you back, and kudos to the Milan football the Milan Indians football program for the job they did on the show last week. And we are going to start in high school football, and maybe we should start with the East Central Trojans, though, the champions of the 4A division in the EIAC. The writing was kind of on the wall. Played Connersville to kind of wrap that up on Friday, 69-7. I don't think, no disrespect to Connersville, but they weren't necessarily favored in that game. So Trojans took care of business and got another conference title to hang up on their walls.
No surprise, like you said, but don't take East Central's consistency and their excellence for granted. And this is a team that just keeps getting better each and every week. And, you know, Jake Fike only touches the ball 12 times, 102 yards. And then Ryan Bond, we've talked about him as a first-year starter, replacing one of the best players in East Central history. And Alex Maxwell was just an efficient 10 for 12 for 148 yards. So it's kind of like Notre Dame and Bowling Green to me. Like, Notre Dame was going to beat Bowling Green, but yeah, I thought Notre Dame played really, really well. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going with that is East Central, they played well, they were efficient, they got off the field, their defense, their offense, another balanced attack, and they just keep building. EIAC champs, but they're building for some bigger prizes.
Absolutely, and that defense just continues to roll, one of the best, if not the best, in Class 4A. They held Connersville to only 72 total yards, and that seems to be a theme here the past couple of weeks. Teams are having trouble getting 100 yards on them, and if you can't get yards, you're never going to score.
Negative 17 on the ground. 89 yards in the air, negative 17 on the ground for that 72. And then some of those in the air were when they'd emptied the bench. East Central's not in the business of running the score up. They got their guys in there. And, that defense is dominant. They are the EIAC 4A champs again. They were the favorite. And it's not always easy to win when you're the favorite. And not only that, but they're 7-0. And they've got Greensburg and then a road game at Beech Grove to complete a potentially undefeated regular season.
And just to follow up on how good their defense is in terms of where they rank in the state, this is all classes the second best scoring defense in all of Indiana at just 4.5 points per game. Only Mishawaka Marion has a better scoring defense just slightly. So that shows you all you need to know about the East Central defense.
And if you peek ahead, Travis, East Central, obviously, to say as an understatement, is going to be one of the favorites in that sectional 23-4A sectional. You've got Mooresville, and records might be a little bit misleading here. You've got Mooresville coming in at 5-2. Mooresville's two losses are competitive losses to Decatur Central and Whiteland, both 5A schools up there around Indiana. So East Central and Mooresville. Now you also have Silver Creek, who's 4A. Now they're 7-0. So on paper, you'd say Silver Creek's the team to beat. I notice on Silver Creek's schedule, they're a 4A school, and they play zero 4A opponents in the regular season. They play all twos and threes. So they're 7-0. Maybe not as impressive as Mooresville's 5-2. But I think where I'm going with that is, I think East Central fans, if you're watching that draw next Sunday night, Mooresville, Silver Creek, and then South Dearborn,
kind of
your teams to beat.
Yeah, and East Central's not going to shy away from any competition. It's not like they're going to sit there and say, well, we would rather see them later in the sectional than early. But I think you're spot on with East Central, Mooresville, and Silver Creek being.
And I'm not taking away from 7-0, but that Silver Creek 7-0.
Not playing those bigger schools might come back to haunt you. We always talk about scheduling up and trying to play as much tough competition as you possibly can.
Which East Central always does. They play Oak Hills, Harrison. They always play an Indianapolis school at the end. This year it's Beech Grove.
Absolutely. So East Central is going to be primed to go into that sectional. Should be the favorite at number two in all of Class 4A in the state. So they got big things on their minds. Of course, they want to finish off their regular season undefeated, taking down Greensburg at home, and then going up to Indy to take on Beech Grove. So we've certainly been super impressed with East Central this year, and they're the best team in Southeast Indiana. And coming right in behind them, I'd say the Lawrenceburg Tigers got themselves in the conversation. They've been having a nice year as well. They had a almost a slip up against Batesville, which they were able to win by 1 point, but the Tigers have looked impressive. Especially last week, or this past Friday, I should say, with a 48-18 win over Rushville to claim the 3A division championship in the EIAC.
Yep. So both the EIAC champs right here in Dearborn County. We saw them in week one, had them on Eagle, Lawrenceburg, and East Central. And you're right, Travis, I know Coach Ryan Kinnegar really well, obviously, both personally and professionally, and I know he and his staff probably going to turn that Batesville game into a wake-up call for his team. They escaped. He's the first to admit that. He was not pleased with his defense that night. But I know how that staff operates. I know those kids and the maturity level on that team. They went up to Rushville and took care of business. Garrett Yoon, 12 for 18, 152 yards, four touchdowns, played turnover free. Adam Bird continues to doesn't have the big bulky body type, but he's really turned into just that workhorse of a running back for the Tigers. 217 yards on 22 carries.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Chad Bunchbach. Some people might remember him from a few years ago. Maybe a little bit more than a few at this point, but Chad was one of those.
2013, Chad. Graduated.
One of those, you know, it doesn't have great hype, but the speed, the cutting ability, the breakaway ability, that's what you get from Adam Bird, and he's kind of given this Lawrenceburg offense another dynamic. We knew that they were going to be a good passing team with Garrett Yoon and that complement of receivers that they have, but now that they can mix in that run very effectively, they can keep defenses on their toes and keep them guessing, which makes the Tigers' offense very efficient, averaging almost 40 points a game this year.
They're good on both sides of the ball. We've talked about that. And that defense, recently, Travis, we've called a lot of names on that defense. Ethan Paris, Dalton Dixon, Andrew Rennekamp, Marshall Kennard, Zach Billa, goes on and on. They also got Andrew Roth back. Andrew Roth's a senior.
Huge.
Missed over half the season, which you hate to see that for a senior. So their defense got better by getting a player back, and Andrew Roth, another quality linebacker. And one of the reasons, you know, Coach Kinnegar was pleased, Rushville really airs it out. They're a pass-first team, and you don't see that a lot. So I think Ryan Kinnegar and his staff were excited for that test, you know what I mean, to really have their secondary tested consistently a couple weeks in a row there. You know, and then you can say they passed the test. I mean, Rushville did throw for 147 yards, I believe. But, you know, it was a good night for the Tigers for sure. And like you said, they wrapped up the 3A side of the EIAC.
And one of my favorite players on that defense, especially in the secondary, is sophomore Aiden Gilmore. He's had a special year, ball hawk at cornerback. But as we're looking at their schedule to finish off the season, they'll be at Connersville, and then they got the big South Dearborn game looming in 2 weeks.
I'm going to say it out loud now, okay? And again, like you said, when we were recapping, East Central 69-7 went over Connersville. You meant no disrespect. I certainly don't either. Lawrenceburg's a heavy favorite versus Connors. I'm going to say it out loud now. Coach Kinnegar's going to hate me. After the Tigers got beat by East Central, I told some friends privately that they won't be beat until possibly South Dearborn. And I'm not picking South Dearborn over Lawrenceburg. My point was East Central got us. We're going to run the table clean until we get to that South Dearborn game at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Connorsville stands in the way of that, so no slight intended.
Yeah, definitely don't want to look ahead. It's a long bus trip. Sometimes that can get you into a little bit of a lull. So hopefully the Tigers will come out and get after it early on in that contest and play a good game as they build towards the South Dearborn game.
But they've done that, is my point, and they had the – I don't even want to call it an escape job against Batesville, because if you say escape, that implies you got lucky. Lawrenceburg didn't get lucky. It was a back-and-forth game. Mm. Teams traded blows. Lawrenceburg got a stop and a touchdown drive, went for two and got it. That's not escaping. But they dodged a bullet, whatever cliche you want to use. It's not easy to do what Lawrenceburg and East Central have done to consistently win, even when you are the more talented team.
And I mentioned that they almost slipped up against Batesville, and I only say that because Batesville isn't having a Batesville season.
Correct.
By their standards.
And they're young. Batesville's young.
They're a good football team, and Lawrenceburg was able to get a big win there on their home field, which helped them win the 3A side of the EIAC. But the big one's coming up against South Dearborn at home on October 18th. We'll be there to call that game.
And if you look at Lawrenceburg's section, which is still a couple weeks out, it's hard to discount Batesville. That Lawrenceburg needed a two-point conversion to beat them, but it's shaping up as Lawrenceburg and Brownstown Central, which is funny because 3 years ago we played them in a semi-state realignment. We're now sectional. From this, Brownstown Central is a consistently quality 3A football program. They're 7-0. Lawrenceburg and Brownstown Central definitely the favorites. Batesville, can't count them out. Franklin County, we'll talk about them in a second.
I was going to say, we were talking off air about a team that might play spoiler in sectional 31, and it might be Franklin County. So this is as good a time as any to transition to that Franklin County South Dearborn game. You heard it on Eagle Country 99.3 this past Friday. I was on the call for that game, and South Dearborn came out on the first possession, scored, and looked good. And then it was all downhill from there. They gave up 20 unanswered points to end the first half. They were down 20-7. And in the second half, you wouldn't believe how many penalty flags hit the field, really for both sides, but mostly for South Dearborn. And they were able to put another score on the board, but they could not stop Franklin County's rushing attack. It was a pretty impressive performance by the Wildcats.
Well, you had the game, and I did not. But I had the game with you when Franklin County came to Lawrenceburg. Franklin County was without their star running back, Hunter Tashane. Mm-hmm. And early in that game, Franklin County lost their senior quarterback.
Yep.
Okay, Bogan. Since then, you had the call. I talked to Coach Koenig about it. Franklin County has totally reinvented their team.
100%.
They brought in a backup freshman, Brady Moorhead, who's going to be a fine player down the road. But we had the game. He was a little in over his head at the varsity level, you know, potentially. So they've moved Bridger Bolos to quarterback, and if you could see me, I'm using air quotes.
Yeah, it's a Wildcat
formation. It's a Wildcat formation.
Yeah.
They've got their Hunter Tashane back. If you look at the stats from this game, Bridger Bolos, the quarterback, and the Wildcat, 1-for-3.
And so he had a touchdown call back on a penalty.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, he played pretty
so
well.
So there's no secrets to what they're doing now. But to Coach Wes Gilman and his staff's credit, it's a total reinvention midseason. That's not easy.
No, it's not. But when you have an athlete like Bridger Bolos, who you can put at quarterback or you know, the guy taking the snap out of the Wildcat, he's got a chance to either keep it or hand it off to what Rand Ballard called the fastest player he's ever seen play high school football, at least here in Southeast Indiana, and Hunter Tashane. And he proved how fast he was with 4 touchdowns in that game and almost 300 yards. You also got Josh Bauman, who leads the way. He can also carry the ball as well. So they got a lot of talent there. They've been plagued by injuries this year, and they don't have the numbers they have had in the past. But that running attack on offense and then their front eight, they run a 3-5-3 on defense. They were terrific in that game against South Dearborn, getting pressure on Dixon. The linebackers were good holding the edge and stopping South Dearborn's rushing attack, which was without Dalton Guthrie. He was out on Friday. But nonetheless, Franklin County really put it on them.
They stopped the rushing attack, and then if you look at Adam Dixon's line from Friday night, and Adam Dixon has had a tremendous season, 9-for-22.
He got banged up in the game.
He took a hit, is what Coach Koenig told me. I talked to Coach Koenig about the game, as you can tell.
He ended up coming out of the game. Reese Willoughby came in to play quarterback, and he and the center were never on the same page. They had several bad snaps in the fourth quarter, so it was kind of a disaster game for South Dearborn, to be completely honest.
And I keep referencing Coach Koenig. He and I worked together. We're friends. He said he was really impressed with Franklin County. He couldn't say enough about Tashane being back. Lawrenceburg caught them without him. He raved about their line. They are getting healthy. They've been one of the more injury-riddled teams all year. So Franklin County, put the potential spoiler. Nobody's going to turn them into the favorite, but I'm with you.
They're definitely don't want to go play them in Brookville on that tall grass.
And as for the Knights, you know, they need to see if they can get right against Rushville. So Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn both have games that, you know, are very winnable before they see each other. But you know, Rand Ballard might we always love having Coach on Crunch Time, and just love being around Coach Ballard, but he might call it the Crunch Time jinx, because since they came in that week, they maybe weren't as competitive against East Central as they hoped, and then didn't have a real, real good night against Franklin County. So, but hopefully for the Knights, they'll get right against Rushville. That would get them to 5 wins, Travis, and that would wrap up back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in, what was it, 15, 16 years?
Something like that, yeah. So the program's come a long way. They've hit a little rough patch here the last couple of weeks, but like you said, hopefully they come away with the win against Rushville this week, and we already mentioned their sectional. They're going to be in the sectional with East Central, Mooresville, and Silver Creek. So they're going to be climbing uphill in that sectional, but as we saw last year, anything's possible with South Dearborn. And we also want to hit on Milan. They were great guests of the show last week. I was impressed with all four of the young men that were on the show. And they put a hurting on Oldenburg Academy, 48-0. So after they lost 21-0 to North Decatur, which pretty much was the de facto Mid-Indiana Conference championship game, they came back, beat Edinburgh 61-6 and then 48-0. Against Oldenburg Academy, and we're going to see Milan on Friday when they host Providence.
I'm looking forward to that. I haven't seen them in person this year, and I have a lot of respect for that program. And like you said, they lost a de facto Mid-Indiana game But that's also a potential sectional game. Lawrence Milan and North Decatur being in the same sectional. But yeah, like you said, just kind of wrong place, wrong time for Oldenburg. Milan probably the better team. And then even though it was 2 weeks removed, still kind of reeling a little bit and licking their wounds from getting beat by North Decatur. And they just, you know, like I said, they got back to, you know, Parker Lewis didn't air it out as much as normal, but only completed 6 passes, 3 of them for touchdowns, showing you their big playability, which we've seen all year. And then the defense pitching a shutout. I'm holding Oldenburg to less than 100 yards themselves.
Yeah, and the big thing for Milan is they've got Peyton Cavins back at running back, so it gives them a couple different options back there. That has helped their running game. They've been a little bit better in that aspect over the last couple weeks, and that should just help open up that passing game with the likes of Peyton Wirt, Carson Asherman, and Adam Norman. The one thing I even told the Milan, you know, kids and the coaching staff that came down and joined the show is like, if you guys can just get that defense right and playing up to their full capability, then that's when Milan gets really dangerous. They've been able to do that over the last couple of weeks. You want to see that stay true against Providence and Switzerland County as they get ready to go into sectional play as well. It's all about building momentum at this time
of
the year.
I'm looking forward to it. It's you and I on the call Friday at Milan. Providence coming to town, another team that kind of schedules up. Like we said, they're only 3-4, but don't let that mislead you. They're playing Floyd Central, Silver Creek. You know what I mean? Some
good defense, too, and Milan struggled against Lawrenceburg and North Decatur, teams that have good defenses. So
it's a good one for us to call Friday night and a good one for Milan. No disrespect to Oldenburg. Milan's more talented than Oldenburg, but it's a good test for Milan, I think, going into the postseason, like you said.
Absolutely, and looking at their sectional, we mentioned North Decatur. They're sitting there 6-1 overall. Knightstown, a good team at 5-2. But this is a tricky sectional because you never know what you're going to get from a team like Hagerstown. Oldenburg Academy is 3-3 on the year. They're can at least be competitive with some of these teams, so that should be an interesting sectional. And Milan is in 1A now. We kind of speculated that maybe that would help them make a little bit deeper of a run, but that's a pretty tough sectional.
And I stand by that long term for Milan. Long term, I stand by that.
Yeah.
But short term, that's a tough
sectional.
The North Decatur's a really, really good team.
Absolutely. Yes, we will see Milan this Friday, 6:40 pregame against Providence. JB and Double T on the call. There you're listening to Crunch Time with JB and Double T live from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossy Drive in Greendale. Every Monday, 6:30 to 7 o'clock, we're here chatting it up, talking sports, and usually have some guests on the show. And we were hoping to get some soccer teams for this week, but you know what, John? They're all preparing or playing in the sectional
right
tonight.
Now, yeah, so let's transition to soccer if you want to get out and see some sports soccer sectionals in action. Lawrenceburg and Rushville right now in Rushville are in a 0-0 tie with less than 12 minutes to go in the first round of sectional action. That sectional is being played at Lawrence or at Rushville. So if you're an Eagle Country listener and you want to see the Tigers of the Night, you're going to have to make a trek. But Lawrenceburg and Rushville, Lawrenceburg under Coach Dwayne Yulman had another excellent season. Rushville is some of the stiffest competition they were going to see in that sectional. They drew them. They're playing right now. I appreciate our athletic director at Lawrenceburg, Mark Pearson, sending me updates. We might have a final before we go off the air, but it's 0-0 with less than 12 minutes.
And total in the game, they're in the second half?
Yeah, it started at 5 o'clock.
Right.
It started at 5 o'clock.
So we're looking at maybe extra time and possibly penalty kicks, which is one of the most exciting things in sport.
And then you've still got Greensburg and South Dearborn yet to play tonight.
And that's an interesting matchup because the winners of tonight's game matches are going to play on Wednesday.
Correct.
So you could theoretically see a Lawrenceburg-South Dearborn rivalry sectional match.
Sectional semifinal. Batesville and Franklin County are sitting in the bye game Wednesday night. But Lawrenceburg and Rushville are in a deadlock right now. So Tiger fans, if we can escape Rushville tonight, we would be back in action in Rushville on Wednesday night.
And I'd go as far to say if Lawrenceburg can beat Rushville tonight, they would be the prohibitive favorite there in sectional 28.
Rushville and Lawrenceburg were two of the better teams in that sectional. And if Lawrenceburg comes up short against Rushville, it's still another outstanding season for Coach Dwayne Yulman and the Tigers.
Absolutely. And if you want to go out to St. Leon, their sectional
tomorrow
has started today, but they're going to play tomorrow.
Correct.
They're at Richmond and New Power playing tonight. But East Central drew Connersville in the first round, and they'll play the winner of the Shelbyville-Greenfield Central game. And Greenfield Central has been a team that's kind of been a thorn in the side of East Central in the past, so that could be a really good matchup come Wednesday night in the sectional semifinal.
Good
if they
for East Central, they get to host, because in that 4A sectional, East Central gets stuck traveling large distances in a lot of sports. This
yeah,
year,
they do.
They get to host in boys soccer, and then Milan and Rising Sun are tomorrow night as well at Jackson Dell. They get that sectional kicked off head-to-head, Milan versus Rising Sun. South Ripley plays Jackson Dell with Switz Shaw and Southwestern on the other side.
And I'll tell you what, Jacksonville has been excellent this year. They would be my favorite in that sectional. Rising Sun's always a pesky team as well. Landon Cole and Kendall Montgomery, just two names I know off the top of my head. They've had exceptional seasons for the Shiners. They're always in contention to win the ORVC Boys Soccer Player of the Week. So that's a good sectional as well. Should be a lot of great matchups in 1A.
If you want to see some soccer and not travel as far, on the girls' side, Lawrenceburg hosts right here on the green and orange turf at the pit. And Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn could be on a collision course for the title game in that one. That could set up for a really, really neat Saturday night at Lawrenceburg, should Lawrenceburg be able to get through Connersville and Rushville. Coach Bill Offa, who I saw walk in here and is enjoying some wings and rings tonight, and his girls have had another really, really good season. They've got Connersville, and then they would get Rushville. South Dearborn only has to win one game to get to the finals, and that would be against Franklin County.
Yeah, and the good thing for South Dearborn is they play on Thursday, so if they do win, they only really have to sit for a day.
A day. Lawrenceburg's path would be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, whereas South Dearborn would just have to play Thursday,
Saturday.
Yeah,
point being, if South Dearborn was playing, you know, tomorrow or Wednesday and they win and have to go to the championship, you don't want to get rusty right by not playing games. So I can see the benefit to both sides where, you know, you save your legs by only playing one game, but if you're a team like Lawrenceburg and you have to win two to get to the final, you might be hitting your groove by the time you get to Saturday.
Just Eagle listeners, keep your eyes on that sectional, because Saturday night, Lawrenceburg versus South Dearborn at Lawrenceburg for a sectional title, that could be a very, very exciting environment.
Yeah, and with the weather that we have now, this is perfect soccer weather. And, man, yeah, you're right. The pit could be rocking on Saturday evening.
Speaking of only having to win two, the East Central girls do have to travel to Mount Vernon, Fortville, northeast of Indianapolis, but they drew that bye game. They don't play till Thursday, so they would have to beat Shelbyville Thursday to get to the Saturday championship. And then the Milan girls also drew the bye game. They play Oldenburg Thursday night, and Rising Sun, South Ripley, and Switz are on the other side of that bracket on the girls' side.
Yeah, and this is according to Max Preps. They got rankings for all three classes in soccer over there. It's unofficial, but East Central's girls have had a phenomenal year, and they got them ranked 23rd or so in the state. You know, Greenfield Central sitting there as well. So this is going to be a tough sectional for them, but they have certainly played their way into what you can call favorite status. And like you mentioned, they only have to win one game to get to the final, and then you got Greenfield Central, Richmond, New Pal, and Mount Vernon that might beat up on each other to get there to Saturday.
Back to the boys' side, thanks to our athletic director at Lawrenceburg, Mark Pearson, who's at Rushville, just sent me a text message. We might not have a final when we go off the air. It is 0-0 after the first OT. So two of the favorites in that sectional, 0-0 through the first OT, Lawrenceburg and Rushville. Boys.
Hey, you can talk about it in any sport, any level, when it comes playoff time. The records don't matter. We already talked about how Rushville's a good team.
Lawrenceburg beat them 1-0 in the regular season.
They match up really, really well. But once you get into postseason play and it's win or go home, anything can happen. And right now, a good soccer match is being played up at Rushville. Tigers, Lions going to extra time. I think it might be heading for PKs.
You're going to wish you were there if it goes to PKs.
Well, I mean, I'm getting excited thinking about it. I played for the Tigers, played for Coach Yeoman. He's a good friend, and I'm hoping that they can pull it out. But, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with soccer. We definitely wish all of our local teams good luck here.
Get
in
out
the
sport. By the time we're back on the air next Monday, these sectionals will be over.
And
so
hopefully
keep your eyes on the Eagle website. You do a great job of updating the website each day.
And hopefully no one will play on Monday in a regional, and we can maybe get them on the show to talk a little bit more about their season. But we got just a few more minutes left in the broadcast, and we do want to talk on some college and pro sports as well. And we're going to turn our focus back to football. You want to go to college? I mean, it wasn't the biggest college football
weekend. We don't have a ton of time, and we want to talk a little Colts and Bengals. But, yeah, college, it was kind of a chalky weekend. Alabama and Clemson didn't play, no major upsets. Around here locally, the big winner, the Cincinnati Bearcats, the Friday night win against Central Florida. You know, they have an identity. They run the ball. They're physical. They have a stingy defense. Central Florida did get 300 yards through the air, but it took them 46 attempts, and Cincinnati got three picks in the process. But run a football, play defense. They have another big, big test this week. They play Houston. But they've already got wins against UCLA. They've already got a big win against Central Florida. If they can beat Houston, can't discount the Ohio State loss, but nobody expect them to beat Ohio State, and Ohio State is crushing everybody.
Yeah.
So Cincinnati, if you don't know the difference between the Power Five and the Group of Five, Cincinnati legitimately has a chance to be the Group of Five representative.
I would agree with that, and what a hire Luke Fickell was.
Yeah, he seems outstanding.
He's doing great. I mean, he's recruiting well. He's got those guys buying into his system, like you said, running the ball, playing good defense, smash mouth football. Kind of reminds me of how it was when he was coaching under Jim Tressel back at Ohio State not too long ago. So big win for UC.
On the national level, it was a kind of a Florida beat Auburn, okay, but Florida's still got the bulk of their season ahead of them. There wasn't a whole lot of big-time storylines. I have a feeling 1 week from tonight we'll have some big-time college football to talk about. Oklahoma plays Texas, and Florida plays LSU, and Notre Dame has USC as Notre Dame tries to stay on the periphery of the discussion, but
I'm glad I can just sit back and watch college football this week. No Ohio State game. I'm a big Buckeyes fan. They've been playing lights out. I think they're at least in the top four, should be when the first rankings come out.
I think, and this pains me to admit it because an Ohio State fan I'm not, I think if you just showed up and watched football this year in a vacuum and you didn't have all the Alabama Clemson in the back of your mind for the past 3 or 4 years, I think it'd be real easy to vote Ohio State number one. I think they've been that good on the field this year only. That said, they get a bye week. I don't know the order that all these opponents come at them, but I know they still have Wisconsin and they still have Penn State, obviously Michigan at the end of the year. So they're going to be tested, but, man, they're for real.
They're going to play a Friday night game in Evanston, Illinois.
Well, that's tricky.
Which is tricky.
That's tricky.
Not this week, but next.
But, boy, they're for real, and they're always explosive on offense, and you watch them closer than me. Is it just me or is their defense a lot better?
Their defense is outstanding. They've changed. They don't play man coverage as much anymore. It's more of a zone. Chase Young at defensive end, perhaps the best at that position in the country. And Jeff Okuda, you can say the same at cornerback. They've been outstanding. Let's get to pro football here as we only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I think we should start with the Colts because they've really been one of the more pleasant surprise stories in the NFL to start this season.
They stole the spotlight last night, didn't they? Nobody expected them to go into Kansas City.
I thought they were going to get crushed.
Including me. I was hopeful that they could hang around, but if I told you I thought they would win, I'd be a liar.
They had some injuries on the defensive side. I thought it was going to be a long night.
Right, they're without Darius Leonard. But you talk about an identity, I mean, their defense was terrific. The Chiefs had 26 straight games of 25 points or more. That was broken. The Colts got to Mahomes 4 times. He'd only been sacked 3 times leading up to the game, and the Colts got him 4 times. They held the Chiefs to 39 yards rushing. They held the Chiefs to only one play of 30 or more yards, and then they played ball control. Time of possession was roughly 38-22 in favor of the Colts. And Marlon Mack, I like him more.
Man, he's
running
been great.
Running back. I like him more every time I watch him.
Yeah, he's been absolutely phenomenal. Big stat, Patrick Mahomes, the star quarterback for the Chiefs, 10 touchdowns the first 3 weeks of the season, only one the last two, and a big credit to the Colts defense for shutting him down. They let him get 300 yards through the air, but only held him to one touchdown, and that's really getting it done.
Similar
against
to
him.
Central Florida getting their 300 yards against Cincinnati. It was a very inefficient.
I compare Patrick Mahomes, a little crossover with the NBA. He's the Steph Curry NFL, but
that's
a great job by the Colts.
One other storyline for the Colts, Vinatieri's back. Remember 2 or 3 weeks ago, are the Colts going to cut Vinatieri? Is he going to retire? He's back. He hadn't missed a kick in 3 weeks. Knock on wood after a rough start to the season.
He's the best kicker that's ever played the NFL, arguably, and he was going to shake that off. He's a perfectionist.
I wasn't on the show last week. But you just look at the schedule. Colts have the Raiders at home, then they go to Kansas City. They're going to go 1-1, right? Well, they went 1-1, not the way you'd expect it. Tough loss last week, but you know what? Maybe the Raiders aren't that bad either.
I know they went over to London and beat Chicago, so that was a pretty good win for Oakland. Both teams are at least better than the Bengals because, they are struggling.
Speaking of the Bengals, they made it exciting there late, but, boy, the first 2.5, 3 quarters of that game were just...
It reminded me of the Buffalo game a little bit. It's like you can't play terrible in the first half and then think you're going to go beat an NFL team playing 2 quarters of good football.
You tell me, Travis, and I'm thinking the answer is no because they're 0-5, but we've said the word identity a few times, East Central, Cincinnati, Colts. I watch the Colts closer on Sundays. I come to Wings and Rings and watch Sunday Ticket and spend my money here at this great establishment that supports our show. Do the Bengals have anything they can count on? Do they have a unit? Do they have – I mean, like, I know that Kyler Murray had been sacked 20 times going into yesterday, season high. The Cardinals have given up, and the Bengals got him 0 or 1 time. Do they have anything they can count on a weekly basis?
Not really, no. There's talent there. I mean, when you name off names like Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd and Tyler Eifert, and then you go to the defense and you're talking about Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, Sam Hubbard, some of those guys, there's talent there. They just can't put it all together.
And what I mean by that is I think the Colts can show up on Sunday now and they can count on that offensive line with Costanzo and Quentin Nelson paving the way for Marlon Mack. They can count on that. And then if the defense can keep the game close, the Colts can count on that rushing attack. The Bengals seemingly don't have anything they can count on.
Now, I will say this. Early in the game, Joe Mixon was able to find some holes. He ran the ball better. So you're thinking maybe, okay, the line has got a little fire, a little fight there. But they did not protect Andy Dalton in the first half. They changed up some things in the second half, got the ball out of his hands quicker. He played better, and they were able to make some plays down the field. So they're a team that can hang around with teams, but until they improve that defense or offensive line and get some better players in the linebacking core, in the secondary, they're not going to win very many football games.
And I listened to Zach Taylor's press conference, most of it, and he really, really talked about how slowly they've started. So for what that's worth, I think that'll be a point of emphasis, whether it's scripted plays, or I don't want to say trickery, but I know that he was really hitting hard on how poorly they've started and they're playing from behind.
And I did see before I walked in here today, got the alert on my phone, AJ Green out again this weekend, so that doesn't help the cause.
AJ Green.
And all this, 0-5, Bengals are terrible talk has prompted some, trade rumors. Unloading players like AJ Green and Geno Atkins, some of the older guys that are still good players, but Mike Brown doesn't really operate that way.
That's not his way.
They should do that so they can compile a bunch of draft picks like the Raiders and some of these other teams have done over these last couple years.
And is there any noise, Travis, with the struggles? I mean, we saw the Giants go from Eli to Daniel Jones. Who'd the Bengals draft?
They drafted Ryan Finley out of NC State.
Is there any noise? I don't want to be the one to create that noise. Is there any noise there?
I don't think so. He's a middle-round pick, fourth-rounder. He's a talented guy. But, the offense line's not blocking for Andy Dalton.
The Bengals' problems certainly run deeper than that.
I don't think changing the quarterback's going to change anything, because the fact of the matter is the five guys that are supposed to block for him don't do a very good job. So I think the Bengals are in for a long season, and so much so that a local businessman out in Milan, Hog Rock Cafe, if you haven't heard of it, he's up on the roof until they win.
No, he's not. Did not get that local.
I'm gonna have the story posted at EagleCountryOnline.com.
Worse roofs to be on, because he's at least guaranteed good food.
That's true. And speaking of which, you can get good food here at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. It goes by quick. We are out of time, JB.
Well, I know you're signing off, but just if you're listening to us, Mark Pearson, athletic director in Lawrenceburg, just texted, and we got to sign off. They're on to penalty kicks in Rushville.
Well, there you go. I could see the writing on the wall. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of Crunch Time with JB and Double T. We hope that you will join us in the restaurant here at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale next Monday, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. Have a good night, and so long.
Thank you for listening to Crunch Time with JB and Double T. Join us live each Monday from 6:30 until 7 o'clock at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale, or listen live on Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.